Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Simple Facts of Life Radio, where we're about to close out a year that hasn't, I think most of us can agree, has not been a great one as far as the promotion of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability goes. I'm sure we're all hoping that 2021 goes a little better and that we can let the healing begin. Well, okay, we'll talk about that in a bit. But I am, as always, your host, Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. If you would like to join the show, the number here is, of course, 949-272-9588. Now, as far as this healing stuff goes, unfortunately, I don't think I'm particularly confident about things going that way. You know, I mean, I don't like to prognosticate about things because, you know, I don't really have a crystal ball, but when I look into my pretend crystal ball, what I see is rather than a new enlightenment happening in 2021, I think we're more likely, before too long, we're going to start looking back on 2020 as the good old days. Yeah, because I don't like what I see coming down the road. And I'm going to talk about some of that today. But first thing I want to get to is just a couple random thoughts that have been going through my mind over the last few days. You know, it's one of those kinds of things where sometimes I wonder if I even want to bother coming on here and doing a show. Keep telling me something, nah, it's not even going to worry about it. And for some reason, I just can't help myself. I'm always here, you know, talking to anybody that wants to listen. A lot of it has to do with just some things that keep going through my mind over time. And here's what's just kind of stuck with me. I am just wondering, are the Las Vegas odds makers, are they like putting an over under on, you know, how long Biden's going to last as president before whatever happens, happens? He drops dead, he resigns, he gets convinced to resign, he gets forced out, whatever happens. You have to believe something's going to happen. I just wonder, I mean, a month, a week, a year? Is there some kind of odds? I don't know. I hadn't heard. But it just seems to me that they got to be thinking about that. Yeah. Now, one other thing that occurred to me just in my musings. Okay. Now, in a few days, is it next? About a week, 8 days from now, Congress will vote, certify the election. Now, after they do that, now, I know a lot of the people around here seem to think that something's going to happen and somebody's going to object and they're not going to certify the election. And, I hope all of my fellow crazy people are right, but I try to be a realist. And, yeah, we've been hearing for months, you know, since the day after the election, all this stuff is going to happen. None of it has. So I'm going to be a realist. I'm going to say they certify the election and Joe Biden officially becomes the president-elect and Kamala Harris officially becomes the vice president-elect. And that changes a lot of things because at that point there's nothing left. There's nothing left that can happen other than somebody dies or resigns or something like that. But, you know, maybe a quickie impeachment or something. But, no, I mean, it's you really can't stop it from happening at that point. So, what I was wondering about is after the election is certified, will they immediately start working to get rid of Kamala Harris, or will they, you know, wait until after she's inaugurated as vice president? Because, you know, I don't believe for a second that anybody wanted her to be vice president or president after Biden, you know, does whatever, you know, whatever happens to get rid of him, you know, wherever the over-under comes at. You kind of got to do something about Harris, get whoever they want in. Anybody who's familiar with how crazy I am, you know who I think they want to put in. I won't say who, but his initials are Barack Hussein Obama. So will they just immediately, like, try to trash her before she's even inaugurated so that, you know, we can just not have a vice president until Biden picks one? You can just go without a vice president, you know, make her resign. I don't know what they'll use. It just occurs to me, you know, one little detail we have not heard about since she was first announced as the candidate, but could suddenly become a big deal anytime anybody wants it to be. But of course, they don't want it until after the election is certified, because if the election's not certified, we might end up with a President Joe Biden and a Vice President Mike Pence. And that would, yeah, that would be a real mess. Because then they'd have to, you know, keep Joe on life support till they could get rid of Pence, which I don't think they could do. So, nonetheless, maybe there's the old Jamaican citizenship thing. Does anybody remember that? I hadn't heard any. It was just casually mentioned, oh, months ago that Jamaica claims that Kamala Harris is, you know, a dual citizen. So she actually has Jamaican citizenship, even though she, I guess, is a natural born American citizen. But seriously, how hard would it be to, you know, just if the powers that be decided that we had to get rid of her, how hard would that be? Not qualified, blah, you know. She could be done. So, I don't know. But all that being said, that was just some random thoughts. A few things I wanted to talk about that I mentioned up at the very top. Yes, will 2020 be regarded as the good old days? I mean, just think about it. What Biden has said he's going to do, not going to get continue the lockdowns, but add to the lockdowns all the other crazy stuff. I'll talk a little bit about some of that. A while, depending on how much time I have, but just, an hour or two ago, I saw something that just really put everything into perspective. And, of course, it was just one of those stupid memes you see on wherever you see your stupid memes, but it's just a little thing somebody wrote. 10 years from now, you'll put on a jacket and find a mask in the pocket. Oh, man, what a weird year that was, you'll chuckle to yourself. And then you'll pick up your machete and continue across the wasteland, keeping to the shadows to avoid the roving gangs of cannibal raiders. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's a little bit melodramatic, but I kind of see that sort of thing happening. The left wants to take us in a place for our own good. We are heading for the dark ages. More lockdowns, more regulations, and, of course, all the climate. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But right now, I want to go over something because you know, I think a lot of the people who might listen to this show are kind of in the echo chamber. I try to stick my head out. I try to see what the left is thinking, what they're saying, what they're talking about. And I don't know, but I saw something a few days ago. I guess this was written like 2 days ago, published. This is an article. It's published in The Guardian, and that's where I see it, and is written by Robert Reich. Now, I talk about this guy from time to time. It was, of course, shared by my favorite window on the left, who seems to idolize Robert Reich as, you know, because Reich is sort of the self-proclaimed, I don't know, philosopher guru of the resistance, don't know what he's going to do with nothing to resist. Now he's got to spend the next few years, you know, trying to, I don't know, well, hopefully, you know, a week from today when we have the election in Georgia, that it'll go adequately, and at least that'll give Robert Reich something to complain about. But, okay, let me see. He wrote this article. It's not very long. I'm just going to read it to you. It should take but a few minutes. And just so you know what the left is thinking. The article starts. Most of the 74,222,957 Americans who voted to reelect Donald Trump, 46.8% of the votes cast in the 2020 presidential election, don't hold Trump accountable for what he's done to America. Their acceptance of Trump will be his vilest legacy. Nearly 40 years ago, political scientist James Q. Wilson and criminologist George Kelling observed that a broken window left unattended in a community signals that no one cares if windows are broken there. The broken window is thereby an invitation to throw more stones and break more windows. The message? Do whatever you want here, because others have done it and got away with it. The broken window theory has led to picayune and arbitrary law enforcement in poor communities, but America's most privileged and powerful have been breaking big windows with impunity. In 2008, Wall Street nearly destroyed the economy. The street got bailed out while millions of Americans lost their jobs, savings, and homes. Yet no major Wall Street executive ever went to jail. In more recent years, top executives of Purdue Pharmaceuticals, along with members of the Sackler family that own it, knew the dangers of OxyContin but did nothing. Executives at Wells Fargo Bank pushed bank employees to defraud customers. Executives at Boeing hid the results of tests showing its 737 MAX jetliner was unsafe. Police chiefs across America looked the other way as police under their command repeatedly killed innocent black Americans. Here, too, they got away with it. These windows remain broken. Trump has brought impunity to the highest office in the land, wielding a wrecking ball to the most precious window pane of all, American democracy. The message? A president can obstruct special counsel's investigations of his wrongdoing, push foreign officials to dig up dirt on political rivals, fire inspectors general who find corruption, order the entire executive branch to refuse congressional subpoenas, flood the internet with fake information about his opponents, refuse to release his tax returns, accuse the press of being fake media and enemies of the people, and make money off his presidency. And he can get away with it. Almost half of the electorate will even vote for his reelection. A president can also lie about the results of an election without a shred of evidence, and yet, according to polls, be believed by the vast majority of those who voted for him. Trump's recent pardons have broken double pane windows. Not only has he shattered the norm for presidential pardons, usually granted because of a petitioner's good conduct after a conviction and service of sentence, these pardoned people who themselves shattered windows. By pardoning them, he has rendered them unaccountable for their acts. They include aides convicted of lying to the FBI and threatening potential witnesses in order to protect him, his son-in-law's father who pleaded guilty to tax evasion, witness tampering, illegal campaign contributions, and lying to the Federal Elections Commission, Blackwater security guards convicted of murdering Iraqi civilians, including women and children. Border Patrol agents convicted of assaulting or shooting unarmed suspects. And Republicans, lawmakers, and their aides found guilty of fraud, obstruction of justice, and campaign violations. It's not simply the size of the broken window that undermines standards, according to Wilson and Kelling. It's the willingness of society to look the other way. And if no one is held accountable, norms collapse. Trump may face a barrage of lawsuits when he leaves office, possibly including criminal charges, but it's unlikely he'll go to jail. Presidential immunity or self-pardon will protect him. Prosecutorial discretion will almost certainly argue against indictment in any event. No former president has ever been convicted of a crime. The mere possibility of a criminal trial for Trump would ignite a partisan brawl across the nation. Congress may try to limit the power of future presidents, strengthening congressional oversight, fortifying the independence of inspectors general, demanding more financial disclosure, increasing penalties on presidential aides who break laws, restricting the pardon process, and so on. But Congress, a co-equal branch of government under the Constitution, cannot rein in rogue presidents. And the courts don't want to weigh in on political questions. The appalling reality is that Trump may get away with it. And in getting away with it, he will have changed and degraded the norms governing American presidents. The giant windows he's broken are invitations to future presidents to break even more. Nothing will correct this unless or until an overwhelming majority of Americans recognize and condemn what has occurred. And that's the end of the article. I read that because, well, number one, that's what the left thinks. But what I found really interesting was Robert Reich and I actually agree on something. And that's because I've been saying, and some other people have been disagreeing with me, but I've been saying for years, I mean, that Trump will get away with it. He will never be prosecuted. Be good, no matter what you think. I cannot imagine any president allowing a former president to be prosecuted. It's not exactly what Reich says, but he said prosecutorial discretion. He's not going to be prosecuted. So, but back to some of the other things he said. Just I don't know, since I've been talking, he says the president can lie about the results of an election without a shred of evidence and be believed by a vast majority of those who voted for him. I would ask Mr. Reich, you know, you can say there's no proof, but when we have hundreds of sworn depositions, isn't that like the definition of evidence? You can't say there's not a shred of evidence. That is just a flat out lie. So, there it is. Okay. What else? Well, I've got all kinds of weird stuff I could be talking about here. Let's look at the other side since I have a couple minutes. What does the right think about all this? Interesting poll came out. Let me see. Who did this poll? Can you see who did this poll? What does the Republicans want the Republican Party to be like going forward? 3 out of 4 want the Republican Party to be more like Trump. I guess the other 25% want the party to be more like, Mitt Romney, the cruise ship conservatives, that group. Oh, yeah, okay. Rasmussen, that's who did it. Rasmussen poll. It seems that there is quite the division. And that's why I wonder about what's going to happen going forward. Joe Biden, he's got his programs. I mean, I've got all kinds of things up here that I'm not going to have time to get to. But, I mean, let's talk about climate. I don't know what Joe Biden personally believes, but at least publicly, he's bought into the whole thing. And we know, those of us with a functional brain cell at least, know it's going to be devastating for the economy. If he tries to do this while we're still fighting this COVID and all the damage that's done to the economy, I mean, the Great Recession of 2008 will again be the good old days. It will be that bad. And they can't just keep giving us these $600 or $2,000 or whatever it is, stimulus checks, because it's all funny money. It's not real wealth. Eventually, if people don't get to work, it won't matter how much money we have, because there won't be anything left to buy. And that's kind of what we're looking at with all this. Oh, yes, and make no mistake, Biden's also talking about, rolling back immigration, more damage to the economy. I mean, rolling back the immigration restrictions. All that, more damage to the economy. Yeah. 2020 hadn't been much of a year. But starting to look to me more and more like moving forward, we're going to start remembering this year as the good old days. And I am just about out of time, so, well, if the apocalypse hasn't started with the arrival of the new year, I will, I guess, be back in 2021 and keep up the good fight to keep it going. Till next time.